Good morning. It is a privilege to be with you on behalf of my wife Kathy and I, who have been just loved on over the top since we have gotten here. I just want to say thank you to all of you. And on behalf of the EPC, I wear this this monstrous cross. One of the ladies, as I was greeting people, said, "Wow, that's a big cross." And it is our symbol of leadership in our little denomination. And I'm in the second year of a three-year term as the moderator. And so for all of the evangelical Presbyterian churches scattered across America and the world, I bring you greetings. And I say thank you for being a part of our family. You are us, and we are you. And the Lord has, through the power of the Holy Spirit, connected us. I've had the privilege of preaching in a lot of different churches at a lot of different places. I've been treated to barbecue and beignets and barramundi all over the world. But I have never experienced hospitality like I have experienced the last couple of days. So Brent, I just want to say thank you to you and your team. What a great time we had with the leaders yesterday. We prayed a lot, we learned a lot, we laughed a lot, we really sought the Lord a lot, and I'm awestruck. And honestly, you guys are pretty gifted, and you deserve the pastor that you have, who is pretty gifted. And I'm thankful for my friendship with you, Brent. I love this text. As somebody who's had the privilege of being a Christian for almost 40 years, I've read my Bible through a lot, and it's amazing how many times I stumble upon a passage that I know I've read, but I don't really notice it. Or I've read it on my way from point A to point B and not really noticed. Oh yeah, this is there. And so this is one of those passages. In my NIV version, it's entitled David's Mighty Warriors. And it is a listing of the people who lead David's army. Now, David had 1,300,000 soldiers. David unified the country of Israel because he could bring together this massive group of men who were soldiers. And in fact, sadly, one of David's failings is that he became proud at how many good soldiers he had. So there were 1,300,000, we are told, soldiers in Israel at the time of David. There were 300 special forces troops. They're just simply called the 300. And the 300 were used in the most difficult situations. Then there were the 30. The 30 were the leaders, the generals, the people who commanded the troops that David had brought together. And the truth was that there was far more peace in Israel during the reign of David than in almost any other time of Scripture, because David had a well-organized army that kept track of everything. And nobody wanted to mess with Israel. If you can imagine a world map, Israel is positioned, I think intentionally by the Lord, at the crossroads of every movement around the world at that time. If you want to go from Rome to Egypt on a land route, you got to go through Israel. You want to go from Assyria or the Middle East up and through Syria and down, you have to go through Israel. If you want to go from Greece and take all the plunder of the Nile Delta, you have to go through Israel. Israel is the focal point of all the land bridges of the world at that time. It is at the center of movement of troops. And so having a strong, well-run army was critical, because if you were weak, people would come in and brutalize you and take over. And if you were strong, they would come and tip their caps, bring their tributes, and move on. So we start at 1,300,000, we move to 300, then we move to 30. And this piece is about the three. The three. These are David's mighty men. Out of all of those troops, out of all of those people who are gifted, there are three that David places his greatest trust in. And so they're listed here. The first one, Joseph Bashabeth, a Tachmonite, was chief of the three. And then it gives a little clip as to how did he get this rarefied role. Well, he took a stand against 800 people. And he alone defeated them. Makes him a pretty extraordinary warrior at that time. Verse 9, next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahohite. Can I let you in on a little secret? Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahohite, is my favorite biblical character. Now, I know Jesus is all of our favorite biblical characters because we follow him. He's my Lord. But if I step past my Lord and what I learn about him, and somebody asks me, who do you love most? I go to Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahohite, and they look at me like I am crazy. Not David? Not Nehemiah? Not Elijah? Not Paul? My man, my brother, is Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahohite. And I want to introduce you to him. Look at what the scripture says. As one of the three mighty warriors, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines, gathered at Pasdamin for battle. Eleazar is with his king, King David. And David is doing an odd thing. He is taunting his enemies. The battleground of Pasdamin I've stood upon in Israel, and it's an area that is raised. There are hills around it all. And the Philistines have the high ground. The Philistines are surrounding this field that David stands in and pass them in. And David is taunting them. The hills aren't far away. I come from a place called Colorado. Bryn kind of pointed out one of the higher places of the island yesterday. It's barely a speed bump compared to Colorado. In Colorado, we have massive mountains. Well, Pasdamin is much more like the hills that you even have on this island. It's not really high. The downward slopes are not great. And so around this field are David's enemies, the Philistines. And he is taunting them. Doesn't seem like a very nice thing to do, nor does it seem like a very wise thing to do. Why would you taunt your enemies when there is more of them than there is of you? If you read in other accounts in Scripture of this same battle, you find that the Israelites are outnumbered 6-1. 6-1. So he has six times as many enemies, and David is taunting them. You guys are nothing. I don't know why you even think you should even come. Why don't you guys go home to your mothers? I don't know exactly what David is saying. But he is taunting them. And Eleazar is at this battle, according to the scriptures. As one of the three mighty warriors, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines, gathered at Pasdamin for battle. Well, guess what happens when you taunt your enemies and they recognize that they vastly outnumber you? They charge. They come down off of the hills with their swords out, their spears glinting in the sun, the sound of a shouting, armor clinking, and down they come. And you know how the Israelite army, this tough army, this army that has held ground so well, responds? Then the Israelites retreated. But Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. Can you imagine your enemies, intent on killing you and your king, come down the hills toward this little field. And David has been standing in this field shouting up at them. And the soldiers around David look at the mass of pressure that is about to come against them. And they measure very quickly the pros and cons of doing battle that day. And they leave. They run away. This army that David is so proud of, this group of people that is so strong, they retreat. The Philistines come off the hills and they run away. I think that's an easy thing to judge, to be honest with you. I find that in most of us, when we feel outnumbered or overwhelmed, we look for a way out. We look for a way to kind of cover our tail or do those things. And so I don't stand in judgment of those people. I think they are saying, oh my, we're going to die. And fear rises up in them. And when fear starts to move in your mind, it kicks in your adrenal gland. And then you know what? Your body tells you to do one of two things. Run or fight. Fight or flight. That's what your body is conditioned to do. It's part of how God has made us to preserve our species. We're about to die. Run. Or fight. And all of David's army runs away. Two men are left standing in that field. David and Eleazar, son of Dodai the Ahite. No one else is left. You wonder what's going through Eleazar's mind, don't you? She's thinking, well, today's a good day to die. She's thinking, I will not leave my king to die alone. The army has retreated, but I will not leave my king. She's thinking, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And he reaches for his scabbard and he draws his sword. And back to back he stands with David as the armies of the Philistines crash down upon them. It seems almost foolish, doesn't it, that Eleazar would stay with David? Or that David would be taunting them even for this field? But there's a clue in the text that I know that you don't know. It's because the scriptures tells us where it happens. It happens at a place called Pasdamin, this field. Pasdamin is a very special place to David, because he stood in this field before and he's looked up at those hills and he's seen the Philistine army before. Last time he stood at Pasdamin looking up at the Philistine army, he was a young shepherd boy, just with a small robe wrapped around his waist, almost naked, slingshot in his hand and a few stones. And he stands in the field of Pasdamin the first time as they send Goliath down to meet him. You see, there's something that David knows about this field. This is God's field. This is the place where God showed his favor to me. This is the place where the very best of evil came, and still a young shepherd boy with a slingshot held his ground. This is God's field. This is just not a place in a country at a crossroads. This is God's field. And I'm pretty sure that what David was saying to the Philistines that day as he taunted them was, send me out another Goliath. Send me out two. You got three? I don't care. This is God's field. This is God's field. The Lord lives here and he will not leave us, for this is his field. This is his place. and he will not leave us alone. And as David taunts them, they get angry, they come down again, and David goes, okay, here we go. And Eleazar says, I will not leave my king. And he steps forward. It's a picture that a movie would have a hard time making realistic. Hundreds, thousands of Philistines come down to two guys standing in the middle of a little field. And yet, the strength, the power, the dedication, the love of brotherhood between those two is so great that nobody can get close to them. The enemy comes like a wave, and it is broken on the rocks of what God is doing in these two brothers who are standing there together. It doesn't even take a whole army. It just takes two people who are committed to say, this is God's field. This is God's field. And they stand, and Philistines fall, and more fall, and more fall, and more fall. And there's just a picture of carnage probably around these two Israelites. Look at what the scripture teaches us about this battle. But Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. You want to know why Eleazar, son of Dodai the Ahohite, is my favorite person? He finishes well. He is not willing to walk away. He does not give into fear. Oh, that I would be that man who, when things look bleak, I say, no, this is God's field and we're fine. I will not leave. May I be that man who says, this is my king. I stand with my king. There is no other place for me to be. And Eleazar fights till his hand cramps to the sword. What does it say next? The Lord brought about a great victory that day. It doesn't say Eleazar brought about a great victory. It doesn't say David and Eleazar brought about a great victory. It says the Lord brought about a great victory that day. Something in all that was happening was miraculous and mysterious. I don't know if the Philistines, as they watched the first wave or the second wave fall, began to get afraid, and if many of them began to kind of slink off the battlefield, back up the hills, back into the hills, back away. Maybe that's what occurred. Maybe the Lord brought about a sense of panic in them, and they quit and ran away. Or maybe the Lord gave two men in the middle of a field more energy than was possible, and the Philistines went, we can't touch them. We can't stop them. Just leave them alone. Something happened that God gains credit for. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. Something happened that turns the eyes off of Eleazar, son of Dodai, and David, and onto the Lord. These two men turn the course of the history of Israel. If David falls, Israel falls. The lineage falls. The birth of Christ never occurs because there is no lineage of a son of David. I think that's why David can stand there and say, Lord, I trust you. You've been here before. You will be. I'm no David. But I might be an Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahohite. I love that they have to give his full name, his father, and the tribe he comes from, because he's not all that well known. He's not all that important. But what makes him one of the three mighty men is he does not leave. He does not take the easy road. He does not walk away. Why? Because this is God's field. This is God's place. My brothers and sisters, what is the implication of the truth of this text for us. What does it mean when I stand before my congregation or this congregation and declare that maybe Eleazar, son of Dodai the Ahohite, is the one that we should all have as our favorite biblical character? We live in a time where it is more and more difficult to stand for our faith. It is more and more difficult to not believe that the tides of evil will overrun us. It's a time to wonder, Lord, where are you? Lord, what are you doing? And COVID weakens everything that is precious to the Lord. We are a church of connection and of love and of being together. And I'm thankful for those of you that watch online, but I have to tell you guys, you are blessed if you are here. Even if you only get to bump elbows and wave across the room, this is what God created as the church. And COVID has fractured that which is most precious. Human, heart-to-heart interaction, a sense of community. I say thank you for being here. It can feel like the Philistines are going to wipe us out. Little crown virus. One Philistine. Maybe some broken political system. That could be a Philistine. Could be modernity or a sense that marriage is not valuable. Could be 100 things as they come down. And I will tell you that sometimes I talk to people in my church and they are about to flee. Go back to a safe place. Buy a private island in the Bahamas. That's what I'm thinking right now. Get away from it all. And that's why I need to remember Eleazar, son of Dodai the Ahohite. No, when everybody else is going to run, I know a truth. This is God's field. When you walk into this church, do you say this is Friends Church? Or do you say this is God's church? This is God's field. When you walk in, I want to remind you, this is God's field. For generations, He has been working here. And He just needs somebody to stand up and declare, this is God's field. And then He will bring about whatever miracle needs to take place to occur. It's not that we have to be so amazing. Just we have to remember that this is God's field. When you walk into your home, you unlock the door, and it swings open, and you feel the air conditioning for a moment, maybe, or you smell that which is cooking on the stove. Do you say, this is God's field? This is God's field. The Lord has done amazing things here, and I will stand in this field as long as He asks me to be. When you go to your job, when you get in your car, do you say to yourself, as Eleazar, son of Dodai, understood, this is God's field. You see, our problem is that we think that God works there. We forget that God works here. And every place I walk, I take Him with me. And so I walk into my church early in the morning on a Sunday and I turn off the alarm system and I unlock the door and I say the first thing, Lord, this is your field. You have done miracles here. I will not leave till you are done with what you're going to be done with today. This is your field. I go to my house. I think about my grandkids. They are, by the way, I have four of them. They are far more beautiful than any other grandchildren in the entire world. No, you think I'm biased. I'm not biased. That's just the truth flowing from a grandfather's mouth. And when I look at them, you know what I say? Lord, they're your field. They are your field. Show yourself here in them. Grow them strong. Do a miracle. They're this field, Lord, is right for you to do a miracle right now. going to get in my car. I'm going to drive down the street. I say, Lord, this neighborhood sure could use a little bit of miracle. Sure could use a little bit of touch from you. So, Lord, I claim this is your field, this neighborhood that I live in. This is your field. This is your place. Help me to stand strong. The implication of this text is that God has lots of soldiers who often quit. And He loves them still. But then there are the three. I want to be one of the few that does not quit. Look at the last sentence of verse 10. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. All the rest come back, and they find Eleazar. They remove his sword from his hand, probably by prying his fingers off of it. They get him to sit down. They tend to, he and David, maybe give them water, and then there is nothing left to do of glory except to take the swords away from the Philistines that have been slain. That's all that's left. I don't want to be in that group of people. I want to finish well. I want to be stronger at the end than I was at the beginning. See, it doesn't really matter how we started. It doesn't really matter how you did yesterday. What matters is, will you finish well? The most successful racehorse in history was a horse by the name of Secretariat, won the Triple Crown. It's interesting that in Sports Illustrated, they marked that the running of Secretariat was the most amazing sporting event of all time. I wouldn't maybe have picked that, but that's what they picked. And if you read the article about the most amazing sporting event of all time, this is what the writers of Sports Illustrated said. Secretariat won every race, but he ran every quarter mile faster than the one he ran before. His first quarter mile was super fast, and his second one he was faster, and his third one he was faster, and at the end, when he is 17 lengths ahead of anyone else, he is still accelerating. He's getting faster. The hope I have for you, my brothers and sisters, is that you have the heart of Secretariat and the commitment of Eleazar, son of Dodai, and that we end better than we started the race. You see, this is your field. Do you guys realize you're sitting in your field right now? This is your field. The Lord has brought you to this place. This is the Lord's field for you. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahohite. As one of the three mighty warriors, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines, gathered and passed him in for battle. Then the Israelites retreated. But Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. Let's pray.